absolutely buzzed to have Martin here from Martin Up North. I am a massive fan. I have admired his work, and not just his work, but also his photography and his kind of enthusiasm for nature and life for many years. So I am so happy to have you here, Martin. Welcome.
Hi, and welcome.
It's great.
You know, Matt, that I'm a longtime follower of yours as well, and I'm blushing right now. So let's go on with it.
I feel bad. Everyone's going to get 45 minutes of me and you just gushing over each other.
Yeah, exactly.
big fan, though. So Martin and I had a little chit-chat before the session began, and my first questions were probably the same question most of you want to hear. So I straight away jumped into, how did this begin? And I'd love for you to kind of share the story, Martin, because originally you're from Vienna, right? And you're now Sweden.
Yes, I'm born and raised in Vienna, 1978. I'm born, so I'm 42 years old right now. And 10 years ago, we decided to move to Sweden. I worked in a very exhausting job in Austria, and we decided to move to the countryside in Sweden, and near the polar circle, near to the Finnish border, really up north, from the big city of Vienna, 2 million inhabitants to a small town with, I think it's 10,000 inhabitants, and there was literally not much to do, so I had to find new things. But there was a yarn shop, and the staff at the yarn shop, it was a one woman company, so to say. She was really giving, and she was really excited that I was there, and she helped me with the yarn thing. And first I started to knit, actually, because I was very, very excited about the classic Northern Fair Isle technique. And honestly, I couldn't manage it. I was not able to manage Fair Isle knitting. Which is not a big thing, because it's not very easy, and it's not a beginner thing to do. But I was trying, and then there's this turning point in my life. I worked in an elderly place for elderly people, and in one of my lunch breaks, I sat down and knitted a little. This really older lady came to me and said, and started to laugh about it, that I was knitting. And at first I thought she was referring to my gender. That's not very common that men are knitting. But then she said, Martin, it's very obvious for me, you're not a knitter, you're a crocheteer, and you have to crochet. And I said, okay, that might be a possibility. And she said, if you want to, I can show you all the technique and show you how it's done. And we just established this very, very interesting relationship. And I used to call her the Mr. Miyagi of crochet, because she was kind of hard with me.
Yeah.
But that was just the thing I needed. There is this story where she showed me how to do a single crochet, and that I did my first single crochet, and I said, oh, now I know how it's done. And she said to me, no, you know nothing. You have to do 100,000, and then I will show you how to do the double crochet. And she was right. I think she really was right.
Because wow.
It's all about the basics. If the basics are good, the single crochet, double crochet, treble, double treble, maybe it's... most of the patterns are working quite well.
Yeah. Well, that's something that actually I greatly kind of admire about your work as well, that like crochet can be so very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be very intricate, of course.
Yes.
And but you seem to have this amazing talent of simplicity with kind of intricate geometric designs, mm-hmm. and also this like bold use of color. How did that style come about? Because it's like your trademark almost.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because I have to admit that I'm colorblind. I don't see so much difference between green and red. So this is maybe I choose the colors more. Take a little more time to choose my colors, because and then I have a lot of help of my kids. Sometimes they have to choose the colors because, you know, I have, it's an opportunity to have the whole color range at home.
Yeah.
And that's often my kids come and play in the crafting room and they say, these two colors, these are really, really exciting. And yeah, let's try this. And with the design thing, I think for me, I have to say it, Lilla Björn and the mosaic technique really was a game changer for me.
Yeah.
I was suddenly able to create this, which I was talking about, this Nordic designs, this Nordic feral designs in crochet, which was a really, really game changer for me.
Wow.
And then after all, it's just like trial and error.
Yeah.
I do not have this design process. I never sit down and try to design something. I have an idea and then I try to do it in the best way.
Mm.
But I really don't consider myself being a big designer because I'm not. Sometimes I have a not so bad idea and then I try to do it.
Give it a go, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. So do you just mentioned your children and do they dabble in, do they crochet or try knitting at all?
Not yet. Lotta, the big one, is 7 years old and Cleo, the little one, is 4 years old. Lotta started actually with cross stitch the other day. So that's a beginning.
So, but, I love it.
But she has a good ability to choose colors.
Amazing.
And she started a little bit with looming and things like that. So the yarn thing is starting to get interested for her. And the little one wants to cross stitch as well because the cross stitching, and it's quite good to start for the coordination and things like that. But it's not their biggest or most happiest hour to do.
Yeah, crap. No, I get that. Yeah,
right now because this can develop.
Yeah, no, nice. Mm-hmm. So your crochet journey then started with this sounds like a lovely but firm older lady.
Mm-hmm.
When did the blog come about then? Did that happen at the same time as you starting to crochet or?
No, the blog came much later.
Okay.
I have another game changer, so to say, in this. I have to say it was Instagram. Mm. Because I was not very into social media and things like that. And then my colleagues at work said to me, we have to do an Instagram story for our work. It was not at all crafts related.
Mm.
And so I started to get interested in the Instagram thing. And I always liked to take pictures
your pictures are phenomenal.
You know,
insane.
Thank you very much. But I have to say it's kind of easy when you're living in an environment like this.
Mm.
The northern lights there. I can take pictures from my porch. So this is just an amazing environment here. And the moose came very close, so it's not like I'm sitting in the woods and waiting for the mammals to come, but it's, they come very close to the house, and that's really a very, very easy thing to take pictures if it's like that. And so this combination of the photography and craft and Instagram was really, really exciting for me to tell my story in pictures.
Mm.
Which wasn't, I wasn't much about Facebook or even the, I liked the blog a lot, but I think I'm best at express myself in pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I think that's also part of my, why people are into the things I do, because I might not be very bad at taking pictures of crochet items. And it's really it's sometimes I think it's more about the how you take pictures and how you the whole package has to be good.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I totally connect with that on a personal level of, you know, being inspired by very, very many different designers. But you're right, it's not, it's the whole package that inspires people. Yeah.
because I see a lot of crochet and even knitting, which is perfectly done. So in a way, I will never reach this level, but the pictures are kind of not as good, and it's not everybody has to take nice pictures. It's not, sure. It's not a must, but I think that this is a really, really, really a thing.
Yeah, totally. So you're on your blog,
yeah,
Martin Up North.
Yeah,
this is not a crochet blog.
Yes, and this was
explain that to me. Explain
because
is it still not a crochet blog?
No, I tried it. I don't want it to be a crochet blog because it's also with the Instagram. It's my personal Instagram. It still is. It's the only Instagram I have.
Yeah,
actually, it's not about it's about this really sounds ridiculous, but it's about me. It's about the things I do and I admire and I like. And right now it's a lot of crochet and crafting, but maybe in 1 year, 2 years, maybe it's about, I don't know, paintings or nothing, something else.
Yeah.
So because I want to have this possibility and freedom to do whatever I want. And I don't know if it's that's right or wrong. It's just like the way I want to do it. And I know that a lot of followers are there for the crochet, and I always lose some followers when I do some pictures of nature, but that's the way it is. And it's the same with the blog. The blog is a very good tool to publish patterns and try to make it in a free way. And it's still not a crochet blog, but I was not very lucky with the Northern Lights, I have to say, the last 2 years. It's always a kind of you have to be lucky to see the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful Northern Lights night yesterday, but it was cloudy, so it's nothing to see. This is kind of frustrating. We'll see how this night is going to turn out.
Yeah.
But still, if there's something else which I think is interesting, I put it on the blog.
I love that. That's I think what a great way to be, just be open and free to do or express whatever you want and not be confined to the word crochet. Just do your thing. Amazing. I've got a question that's just popped up, which is on this topic. So it seems appropriate that we just answer it now. Jordi asks, is there a common thread to be found between your photography and your yarn work?
I think the connection between the photography and the crafting is two things who are very, very, who are the opposite of each other. In the crafting, I really try to control the process, to make it as even as possible, to make it as controlled as possible. Mm. And the other thing, the nature, the Northern Lights, the weather, the wild animals, it's not controllable. It's really about you have to be lucky. You have to be lucky, and you have to be quick, and you have to find this moment. And I think that these two poles, so to say, are maybe define my personality, because I try to in some situations I try to be very controlled, and in other situations I want to be very, very, very free. And I think that's the main connection between these both sides of life, so to say.
Yeah. So the connection is like balance.
Yes, I think it's a balance thing, and it's sometimes when I'm really tired of crochet, because I crochet more than 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I have to go into the car and drive away and try to find some animals.
Yeah,
it's quite a good balance, I think.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got another question pop up. Nikki's asked, what inspires you?
I have to say nature. I think that's the main thing. But it's the most inspiring thing are other designers, other crocheters. I think that's we have an amazing possibility to look at others' work with Instagram, Facebook, blogs, the internet, you name it, and I think that's the main inspiration, because there's so many talented people out there. And that's just amazing. I spend hours, literally hours, on different platforms to find good work. And suddenly something is popping up, and it's just like blows your ways, and then you think that this is the thing.
I love that.
You see here in the back the she's called Bright Bag, a designer, and I did it a little in another way, but this was just like it popped up, and it's crazy. What a crazy design! Never seen something like that before, and so you. I try to do it in my own way, but and adjust patterns, but mostly the community I would say is the most inspiring thing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, nice. When you're creating stuff, so when you as you've mentioned, you don't necessarily class yourself as a designer or set out to design something. What is your process starting out then? Do you just pick out some yarn and just play, or do you formulate an idea? Like, do you know you're going to make a blanket when you said?
No, not a blanket, but often when I see something or something pops up in my brain, it's like the process is done. It's like this is going to work. I know how it's going to work. I know how it's done. I know that the blanket is literally done before I do the first stitch. Then there are other patterns which need the trial and error process. Like, can I do it like this? Can I do it like that? But often the process is a couple of seconds. It's like this one, like this, these colors. It's working.
Yeah.
And if it's not working, if I see in the process when I start to crochet, it's not working. It's not going to be a pattern because I'm not very like testing a couple of weeks or something. That's not working for me. I know there are other people who are doing it like that, but for me it's like it's working or it's not working.
Okay, so you got a kind of a feel straight off.
You
go with it or don't.
And for example, the next pattern which will be released next week, it was like a pattern in a museum. It was like, oh wow, this is like an ancient design. Can it be crocheted? Yes, it can. So this it's like find inspiration everywhere, like this.
Amazing. So you're quite well known, of course, for the kind of mosaic crochet, right? Are there other forms of crochet you're dabbling in? Are you experimenting with some other techniques? Because I wasn't very familiar with. I know the mosaic crochet has been around for a while, but until I saw your work and as you mentioned Tatiana's work, who is actually watching the call as well, it brought it to my attention.
Yeah,
and I've seen all of the great things you can create and the great design work. Are you dabbling with some other kind of techniques at the moment?
Yes, like the entrelac Tunisian. Technique is very interesting, and I think it can be leveled up. It still can be leveled up because you have to say that crochet has reached a level which maybe 10 years ago we wouldn't have dreamed of, because there are so many people who are pushing it forward. And I think in my opinion, the mosaic crochet thing is great. I love it, and there will be more exciting patterns, but it has in some way reached the top level, and I think in entrelac there's still a lot of things you can do to level it up, and that's a thing I'm testing a lot right now. How can it be used? How can you form different shapes in this technique?
Lovely.
And of course, also the traditional things. There are a lot of things which can be tested.
Yeah. So it's really what I'm hearing a bit is the you like to push the boundaries on stuff. You like to explore what else you can get out of it.
Yes, it's explore is kind of the right word. I'm not claiming that I'm able to push to level up a technique or something. But I think that there are techniques which are more likely to be tested, on myself and on others, and that's still it. The main thing with crochet in my opinion is that, as you said, that it can be done on different levels, but it's not boring at all to do an easy pattern. Sometimes the easy pattern is the best one. I can say I crochet a lot at work.
Yeah.
At my day job, because I sit a lot in meetings and things like that, and it helps my brain when I do the repeating things.
Mm.
Not think about anything when you're crocheting. That's very pretty, I think. It's a very, very good process. And
a form of meditation, isn't it?
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be on the top technical level all of the time.
Mm.
I still love to do simple granny squares.
Yeah, love a granny square.
Yes.
Good. I've got a couple more questions have popped up, Martin. So the question here is, your mother language is German. You're in Sweden, and you design in English.
Yes, my mother tongue is German, and I speak most of the time Swedish in my private life. But I think my crochet language is English.
Is that hard to untangle the yarn of languages?
Sometimes it is, and I noticed that my English is getting worse all of the time, because it's my third language and I do not use it a lot. But when it comes to writing pattern writing, it's easier for me.
Yeah.
I do not know the terms in German, and I do not know the terms in Swedish, so the only possibility for me to write patterns is English.
Yeah,
because that's how I learned a lot of things from the internet.
Yeah, I think that's a real key point, isn't it? Often we go with how we learned.
Mm.
Same for me. I learned American terms.
Yeah.
And I know they're very close to the UK terms, but when I did have to find a UK pattern and do that, I was like, what's going on here?
And I was also kind of surprised when I started to create and write patterns, that I thought, I like, in my naive way, I thought English, that's the way it should be, and everyone is able to do it. And later in the process, I noticed that a lot of people want to have their patterns in their mother language, and this is of course understandable.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I think the crochet community is also a very interesting community when it comes to sociology, how it works, how things are working.
Mm.
And that's I still write in English.
Yeah,
in American terms, American European English terms.
Okay. On that note of kind of community, crochet community, I hope you don't mind me asking this question, but I'm asking it because I got it a lot as well. How has your feeling been received being a male crocheter? Does that impact you in any way? I get this question a lot, and I'm not saying it should have an impact. I just want to put that out there. But...
Yeah. No, it should not have an impact, but it has an impact. Of course it has. I'm very, very aware of that it's maybe easier for me to be recognized as a designer, because it's easier to find your place. But the main thing in the crochet community, it's when I started to have contact with other designers and other crocheters, it was a very loving community, and this was really a great experience for me.
Mm.
I tried to compare it with when I was 15, 16 years old, I was a skateboarder, and I still am. I think I can't drive the skateboard anymore, but I think it's a way of living, because there was this loving community who is all about helping each other. There was not much competition. It was all about pushing each other to the next level without any competition. And this is what I recognized in the crochet community. And this was really, really a great experience, because the skateboard world, the crochet world are miles apart.
Yeah.
The same mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, that I'm male makes me part of the minority in the crochet community, but
yeah.
But I think that it has a lot of advantages to be male when it comes to publicity.
Sure.
Of course it is. Yeah. I'm aware of that. That a lot of things are easier for me than they are for other designers, for female designers.
Yeah.
But I also have to say that it's you have. I think you need quite a good shelf consciousness to succeed, not in the community but outside the community. But it's
yes.
it's still when I'm sitting at the bus and I'm knitting or crocheting, it's still you get this not in words, but you know that people think that this is weird. It's not common. It's still not common.
Isn't it because we're in this bubble, right? Everyone here is, I presume, a crafter, is a creator, crocheter, knitter, whatever. It's so interesting, isn't it, that just yarn and a hook.
Yes.
It's just yarn and a hook. Like, how can that even be attached? But it's interesting, isn't it?
It's. I think it's very interesting, and I also have to say that I get a lot of positive responses from female from women.
Yep.
I think we have to say it, that this is it's a toxic manly thing.
Yes.
To think that one gender has the right to decide what's right and what's wrong. And I think it's 2020, when are we going over it? I think it's strange. Yeah. It's really strange.
Totally. No, I feel that. Sorry, I was very interested in hearing your perspective on that, of course, being a male crocheter myself. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Martin. I hope that didn't go too heavy for everyone. Just finally, I'm aware of time, so I want to just open up the space. If you have questions, now's a great time just to type them in, and I'll throw those questions at Martin. Yeah, so go ahead and do that now if anyone has questions, and I'll kind of just keep jabbering on for a bit until the questions come in or don't come in. Who knows? So what are you working on right now, Martin?
I'm working on as you know, there here is my right in front of me, there's my project closer, than it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 projects right now.
Wow.
3 knitting projects. I'm into knitting again right now. And this is kind of easy because I don't feel any pressure with knitting. It's like nobody knows that I'm knitting. It's just like the new crochet for me, the non-pressure thing. And there are 3 or 4 crochet projects. One, I finished one today, actually, 10 minutes
before. Congratulations.
It's a mosaic baby blanket, because I got a new nephew, and he has to have a baby blanket, and it's going to be photographed, and then it's going right to him. And then there is another blanket on the way, which is not mosaic and not entrelac. It's just simple and plain. No, it's not plain. It's simple, a simple design, which I'm very, very fond of, because it's not the usual thing I used to do. And there is some stuff of other designers as well, which I want to.
Yeah, find. I was gonna. So do you still? You still like to make stuff from other designers so it's not always you having to create.
No, I still try to have at least 1 or 2 designs of other designers on my hook, because there are so many good designs out there which have to be crocheted. And I thought a lot about it before I started the interview. I often choose designs which I can. Not. It's not about improving, but where I can add the personal note.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I can change the yarn a little bit, or I can change colors or things like that. I think that's quite important for me, that I can add a personal touch. And I try. I don't know if it's if it's if if I succeed with it, I try to build my designs as well in a way where people can change things, can make it bigger, make it smaller. Yeah. Exactly, because I think that's important. That's the thing which attracts me to patterns.
I love that.
Yeah, and I'm still doing a lot of other designs.
Do you have a favorite kind of? Have you got a designer that's kind of a favorite at the moment?
There are so many good designers out there. But, you know, as I said, Tatiana, I didn't see her now in the here or not, but she's just really, really amazing, and everything she puts out there is just mind blowing. And there are other designers, but I think Lila is just outstanding.
Love that. We'll be chatting to her tomorrow. So if anyone here wants to join the conversation, then go grab yourself a ticket. Just plug that real quick. So we've got a few questions that have come in. So what is your most cherished memory regarding being a designer, seeing other people make your work?
Yeah,
that's
still an amazing feeling. When I see somebody else doing a design I did, it's very, very hard to explain what this means. I think one of the biggest moments for me was to write the first design and put it out there on the blog. It was like really, really much pressure and tension, even if it's not important. But yeah. And then the first one who did it and said, it's working, it's nice, I like this design. This is really, really, really amazing. And then there was one moment, there was one woman from, I think it was France, and she did one of my designs 5 times. She did 5 blankets, exact the same color.
Wow.
Every member of her family, and sent me a picture. And I was like, wow, this is just amazing.
How special.
And still, I still wanted to do this. I had this idea for my blog because I think this worldwide thing is just amazing, that people from all over the world are in the same community. This is just great. And that it is one time on Instagram, I did this question from which country people who are following me are where they're at home. And was like, I think it was about 80 different countries. And this was like, how is this even possible? And even this, the interesting thing with the blog as well, when you take a look at it from which country people are watching your blog, you might know this experience, Matt. It's like, how did they know about me? There was a girl from the Bahamas, and like, I like to crochet your stuff. And it's like, how does this happen?
That's so special.
I think this is very special to have this global community. It's just unbelievable for me.
Yeah, I certainly hear that. And you know, that's what this is all about today, Yarndale. As I mentioned at the beginning, you know, like, couldn't do it in person, but we've still created, you know, we've got a community of 30 plus people here all connecting. It's so beautiful, so nice. I've got two more questions, Martin. let's have a look. So what other crafts, Michelle Lassis, what other crafts of other than knitting and crochet have you been interested in giving a go? Also, did the baby blanket get a name? It's stunning.
Thank you.
Michelle, right.
Other crafts. First question. Cross stitch, needlework. I'm very, very interested in embroidery. And I'm just at the start to try and get into it. It's hard to find the time to have another craft, to develop another craft, skills for another craft. But cross stitch, I've cross stitched not a lot, but a little. Here's one project that I started somewhere.
Look at that.
Which I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but that's a really good relaxing thing, I think.
That's brilliant.
And the blanket, I'm still thinking about the name, because I always try to find names which are connected to her song titles, music and song titles. And I didn't find a good one because most of them are really very concrete and very, 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 what to say? It's they do not really match with the blanket. So I might find another name. And there was a lot of suggestions and they were very, very good suggestions. Hard, very hard, very hard this time.
A tricky one, isn't it? Because once it's decided, it's really decided.
It's really a tricky one. And now I have this total overload of names, which are very, very good.
It's like, I imagine it's like naming a child. You don't want to mess that one up.
Yes, exactly. But after all, it's the same thing with naming a child. It's just a name.
Mm.
It's important that the child is growing in a lovely environment.
Yeah.
The name is is going to match the name and not the other way around.
True, true, very true. Let me have a look. So Lindsay says, you mentioned that you crochet during meetings in your day job. How do you balance both sides of your life? Are there enough hours in the day?
Right now there are not.
We'd all like a few more, right?
I have the possibility and opportunity to crochet a lot during my day job. That's really good, because otherwise I wouldn't manage it. I'm not designing or have ideas. I have ideas, but I'm not designing during my day job. Of course not. It's not possible. But during meetings, I can do it. I have actually two day jobs. I'm working 80%. I'm working at my normal day job. I'm a social worker and work with people who try to find a job. And on the other hand, I'm a teacher and teaching teacher assistants. So this is like the other job I have. And then there's the crochet thing. And I try to balance this a lot. And also, of course, the main thing is to take care of my children. That's the most important.
The big job.
Yeah, that's of course the biggest job, but I try to handle it in a healthy way.
Yeah, sure. Because
that's really important to not. I think the craft thing. I have my periods there crafted really, really a lot, and that's not healthy. You have to be very, very careful with it.
Yeah,
and it stays healthy.
Totally.
All about balance.
It's all about balance, isn't it? One, I'm just going to read these last few comments, Martin. I'm mindful of not, I don't want to take too much of your time. Someone's mentioned that your embroidery is very pretty.
Thank you.
It's good to take a break, do something else from yarn. Also, Carol says, your story is so interesting. I wonder where you would be now if that lady hadn't told you.
Yes.
You're a crocheter and not a knitter.
Yes. But the butterfly effect. It's like the little things who can change a lot in your life, and you have to be careful with these moments. You really have to take care about the small pretty things in life.
I want to leave it there, Martin, and just thank you. But I just want to say a big thank you for giving us your time today, inspiring us. Also, hearing you speak so beautifully in such a kind of considered way is really quite refreshing. So thank you so much for sharing your passion, your creativity. It's been lovely today.
Thanks for having me, and a great, great, great shout out to the whole community. It's really, really heartwarming to be part of it.
Love that. Thank you, Martin. Good. Once again, Martin, thank you so much for giving us your time, and thank you everyone for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure, and hopefully we'll see you in person next year at Yarndale.
I hope so. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Matt, I hope it's not the last chit chat we have.
Oh, or not. Definitely not. It's been a good pleasure to meet you.
Yes. Have a good time, everyone.
Bye.